Good day, I'm Jackie Judd with Health on the Hill. Well, it's done. Late Sunday night, the House passed the bill overhauling the nation's health care system and then the package of fixes to that bill, which the Senate must now approve. President Obama, who saw his number one domestic priority written off as dead more than once over the past year, addressed the nation, saying the vote proves this government still works for the people.
Most importantly, today's vote answers the prayers of every American who has hoped deeply for something to be done about a health care system that works for insurance companies but not for ordinary people. For most Americans, this debate has never been about abstractions, the fight between right and left, Republican and Democrat. It's always been about something far more personal. It's about every American who knows the shock of opening an envelope to see that their premiums just shot up again when times are already tough enough. It's about every parent who knows the desperation of trying to cover a child with a chronic illness, only to be told no again and again and again. It's about every small business owner forced to choose between insuring employees and staying open for business. They are why we committed ourselves to this cause.
The president is expected to sign the historic bill in the coming days. Here to discuss all of this, as they have been over the past year, Mary Agnes Carey of Kaiser Health News and Eric Pianin of the Fiscal Times. Welcome to you both, as always. Mary Agnes, you were on the Hill on the House side Sunday night as all of this was happening. Give us a sense of how it felt.
You knew that you were part of history. The place was packed. Of course, all the members were on the floor. The press gallery was packed. The public galleries were packed. On the floor, you had tons of staff who worked on this for years. There were several veterans who were saying it felt even bigger than any State of the Union they'd ever covered. You knew that this was the night and this was the vote. Passions were high. Republicans firmly believe that this bill is bad for America, and they made that case loudly. Democrats, on the other hand, feel this is a very good thing for consumers. It's the right thing to do, and this is what their place will be in history. But you could feel the passion build. As the afternoon went on, the question was, did they have the votes? And when Bart Stupak, the congressman from Michigan, came out and said there was a deal on the abortion issue with an executive order from the president, he kind of knew they had it. It was just a matter of time. But as the vote built and as the vote happened, you had members of Congress, Democratic members, walking around getting signatures on the bill from key committee chairs. Mm-hmm. They're hugging. They were very excited. And they really felt like this is a crowning accomplishment for their party.
Eric, you've covered Capitol Hill for decades, and you described this very well. You said last night very much exposed kind of the dual view of the world that Democrats and Republicans have.
That's right. It was almost like two parallel universes in politics talking about the same legislation, but a viewer would be kind of confused as to know just what was that bill all about. I mean, if you listen to John Boehner, the leader of the Republicans, it was Armageddon. It was the beginning of the end of Western civilization as we know it. It's legislation that'll raise taxes and raise premiums and kill jobs and kill the economy and undermine the healthcare system. And you go, oh my God! And then you listen to Nancy Pelosi, who wrapped up the debate last night. And it was, a historic moment, something akin to passage of Social Security or Medicare, extending health care insurance to 32 million Americans who are, suffering without it. So it was really kind of a peculiar debate in that respect, but also very angry, kind of ugly side to the body politic and a lot of very uncalled for epithets and exchanges on the floor, not to mention some of the really ugly demonstrations going on outside the Capitol.
Well, let's talk about the nuts and bolts of the legislation that will soon become the law of the land. It rolls out in a couple of different waves. First, there is the immediate impact. Walk us through those changes.
Here's some of the things that Democrats and the president will be talking about in the days ahead. If a dependent child could stay on their parents' health insurance policy till April 26, a child could not be discriminated against. An insurer could not say, I won't cover this child if they have a pre-existing condition to age 19. the donut hole in Medicare, again, this gap in coverage. Mm-hmm. Seniors will get $250 this year to help cover the donut hole, and of course they'll phase that out over the next 10 years. There's a high risk pool. That's for people now that don't have health insurance and they have a problem getting it. There'll be this high risk pool set up to help them get coverage. There's also going to be tax credits for some small business. We're talking about businesses that are 25 or fewer employees, average wages of about $50,000 or fewer. They'll get some immediate help. Those are the more immediate things in the bill.
And then the longer range plans, I think they kick in at about 2014.
That's right. That's when you're going to see the health insurance exchanges, the marketplaces to help consumers find affordable coverage, the subsidies that will be given to people to help them find coverage, the Medicaid expansion. Those are some of the key elements that will come later.
The bill, as Eric noted, covers an additional 32 million people currently without insurance. By what year will those 32 million have coverage or have access to coverage?
Well, that will certainly begin. I guess you could make the argument if you didn't have coverage right now and you go into the high-risk pool, that's some help. 2014, you're going to get more help. But by the end of implementation, over the next 10 years, that's where you're going to reach your 95% coverage level that's in the bill that CBO has talked about.
Eric, because this does play out over the course of so many years, what are some of the uncertainties about implementation of the bill and therefore the financing of the bill?
Well, I think the greatest uncertainty is whether Congress will make good on its promises to raise taxes in certain areas and cut spending in others. And I think this is where the Republicans have been focusing their criticism. The legislation really hinges on Congress eventually making deep cuts in the Medicare Advantage program to help offset some of the costs of the subsidies. It also requires down the road raising taxes on these high-end healthcare and insurance programs that employers are providing. And the Republicans are saying, you know, big talk, but we'll see whether when the time comes, Congress will make good on it. If they don't make those cuts and raise those taxes, then that will significantly add to the deficit and undermine all these projections for deficit reduction, both in the short term and the long term.
Do we have any sense yet of when President Obama will sign what the House passed last night?
Well, Henry Waxman, who's head of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, said within the next 2 days, and this is about shortly after midnight this morning, that within the next two
Monday.
Days, right, the president would sign the Senate bill. So I don't think they've said officially when they're going to, but the thought is they'll sign that and make it law, and then, of course, as you mentioned earlier, the Senate has to also, excuse me, approve the package of fixes the House passed last night.
And I've heard estimates on that ranging from several days, a week, to a month before the Senate votes on the so-called fix-it or reconciliation package. What do you think?
I think that it's more likely that it'll drag on through this week and then they'll wrap it up. I think, you know, Harry Reid and...
Because they're coming up to a recess.
They're coming up to a recess, but also there's a certain momentum now. The House sort of pulled up its socks and passed the legislation and passed the fix. And now the focus is on Harry Reid and the Senate Democrats. Can they make good on their pledge to deliver by passing this this legislation of fix and reconciliation? I think my guess is that by the end of the week they will do it. But there's a real danger if there's even the slightest change, modification of this legislation, this reconciliation, reconciliation. If the Republicans make one inroad in the legislation, then that bill has to go back to the House for yet another round of debates and approval. So there's a lot riding on Harry Reid making good on his promise to the House Democrats.
Well, Mary Agnes, you wrote a really masterful article for Kaiser Health News today about all of the different ways in which the Republicans could upset the Democrats' plan. Walk us through a couple of those.
Well, for example, they're going to raise a challenge to a provision of the bill, the Cadillac tax, which they think impacts
the high-end cost plans, which they feel impacts
Social Security, which is not allowed under the reconciliation instructions, for example. That's one challenge. They're going through the bill, they being Republicans, meeting with the parliamentarian, just as the Democrats have, to see what is, to quote a phrase, birdable. What provisions can you take out that violate the Byrd rule, which governs reconciliation instructions. And here we're talking about revenues, spending, taxing. It's all got to be related to those financial issues. So Republicans have a few things up their sleeve. They've been talking about their challenge to the Cadillac tax. My guess is they have a few more areas where they're going to try to take elements out of the package. And then, as Eric said, it has to go back to the House. But several of us were talking to House members yesterday, House Democrats, saying to them, well, what if the Senate takes out provisions? Won't it be hard to move this bill again? They don't seem too worried at this point, but we have to see where it all goes.
They feel that the hardest votes took place on Sunday.
The hardest vote, you know, we were talking about a week ago, they had this demon pass strategy for the House Democrats to avoid the vote on the Senate bill. They changed their minds about that. And so once they've taken, their members have taken that vote on the Senate bill, they've taken a vote on the reconciliation package, I think most of them feel like they could do that again.
You know, one other point that we ought to make in closing, Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer deserve enormous credit from the White House for delivering on this package. And in the darkest days when it looked as if this thing was going down, after Scott Brown's election in Massachusetts to the Senate, a lot of people thought, let's pull back, let's break this into several pieces and try to pass it piecemeal. And Nancy Pelosi said, no, we're going to stick to our guns and we're going to pass this. And she succeeded.
Okay. Thank you both so much, Eric Pianin, Mary Agnes Carey.
Thank you
for watching, as always. I'm Jackie Judd, and this has been Health on the Hill.